Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News, I'm Ben Thomas. The Supreme Court heard arguments in a case from Colorado, a Christian graphic artist who objects to designing wedding websites for gay couples. Sagar Magani on how it went.
The High Court's conservative majority sounded sympathetic, with Neil Gorsuch describing Smith as someone who will and does sell websites to everyone.
But she won't sell a website that requires her to express a view about marriage that she finds offensive to her religious beliefs.
The big question from Sonia Sotomayor and the liberals.
How about people who don't believe in interracial marriage? Or about people who don't believe that disabled people should get married? Where's the line?
The High Court has sided with religious plaintiffs in a series of cases. Sagar Magani, Washington.
The Kremlin claims Ukrainian drones have struck two air bases deep inside Russia. Hours later, Russia unleashed another massive missile barrage across Ukraine. President Vladimir Zelensky says Ukrainian air defenses shot down most of the missiles, but he says at least four civilians were killed, and crews are again repairing power lines. Power has been an issue in North Carolina. AP correspondent Hannah Schoenbaum reports authorities say the incident was not random.
It seems that there were gunshots at a couple different substations around Moore County, North Carolina.
Duke Energy spokesman Jeff Brooks says the damage to the grid is extensive.
We will gradually see more recovery, but we could still see this extend Wednesday into Thursday, somewhere in that time frame.
Sound courtesy WTVD. Arizona's top election officials have finally certified the state's midterm election results. However, that opens a five-day window for formal election challenges. Republican Carrie Lake, who lost the race for governor, is expected to file a lawsuit. Georgia's Senate runoff is tomorrow. This is AP News.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life, filled with dance, art, music, and knowledge. They dream of a brighter future with enough nutritious food to eat, a chance to learn and grow, to get an education, escape poverty, and do incredible things. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, such dreams are coming true. Together, we give children a chance to set their sights high and succeed in school and in life, by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and so much more, so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today. Together, we can help end poverty for good.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing. Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like her quince's. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnier with your headlines. The Waukesha community came together Sunday for the annual Christmas parade a little more than 1 year after the tragedy of 2021. This year's parade, themed Peace on Earth, began with the crowd singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. The parade stepped off with a banner in remembrance of those who died last year, honoring the victims, survivors, families, and first responders. Hundreds of people lined the curbs and cheered as the dancing grannies led the parade through the route, also marching the Waukesha Blazers Baseball Club and the Catholic community of Waukesha. Both groups had multiple members among the injured, including 8-year-old Jackson Sparks, who later died. Parade-goers spoke of the need to show community support, honor those whose lives were lost, and celebrate the return of Waukesha's long-standing holiday tradition. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
They work for you. Join us daily at TheRickSmithShow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is The Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. Today on the big program, lots to get to, lots to talk about. This is the day before the big election. Tuesday, December 6th, decision day for the good folks here in Georgia. As we have spent the last week and a couple of days here in Atlanta, talking with voters, talking with union members, talking with people about what this election means, what it doesn't mean. Interesting bit that I've come across, and it seems to be before the midterms, Republicans were talking an awful lot about enthusiasm gap. I'm feeling that gap here, which is why I'm predicting that Reverend Warnock will be reelected as senator here in Georgia, and it will be a sizable victory. I'm thinking it's going to be somewhere between 5 and 7%. That's where my thinking is at this moment, based on what I've seen on the ground, the reactions, and the fact that there isn't a Brian Kemp on the ballot to pull people in on the Republican side. So there's really nobody who's excited about going to the polls and voting for Herschel Walker, given all of the insanity that's been surrounding his campaign. I mean, when I thought that Trump's campaign was off the beaten path, when I thought that the campaign for governor in Pennsylvania with Scott Wagner the last time and now Doug Mastriano this time, when I thought that was, well, comical and off the path, this one, wow. This one, I don't know that we'll see another candidate like Herschel Walker for a very long time. Or we're going to see or the other side of this, or the Republicans are going to put one up just as bad, if not worse, in the future, just to prove that they can. But here's the thing. I think you're going to see Reverend Warnock reelected by somewhere 5 to 7 is my guess. I know the polls have it much closer. I'm not getting that vibe here. I'm getting the vibe that there are people who are active, engaged, they're ready, they're fired up, they're ready to vote. They've already voted. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And like I said, the last several days, how did SB 202, how is that going to play in the outcome? The only chance Herschel Walker has is if SB 202 keeps enough people from the polls, if it eliminated enough people. But I'll tell you, I haven't talked to anyone yet that hasn't been motivated to go over that hurdle. So maybe by putting more stringent barriers in place, maybe they've steeled people's spines and their resolve to get out and vote. And we'll see. We'll see what the numbers come out. But that is my view. Now, I've gotten a ton of email because, you know, the last couple of days here on the program, not been thrilled with our president, not been thrilled with the decision on the railway situation. And look, for anybody who's listened to the show any length of time, you know I said over the summer there was not going to be a strike. This wasn't going to happen. I'm upset about how they went about the aftermath. This could have been handled so much better. So everyone who's sending me anger email, stop at this point, because I'm not taking the anger. I'm just not. Understand, and this is where my mindset is, and I've said this numerous times before. Understand, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm not politically right, nor am I far left. I'm a working person. And I've said that for years. At the end of the day, someone tried to pin me down. Well, what flag are you? And I said, look, I'm a green liberal. I'm a green conservative liberal libertarian. If it's a good idea, if it's going to help working people, it's going to make lives better, we should be doing that. I want to get stuff done. I'm a working person. I want the job done at the end of the day. I want to be able to sit down with a beer and go, we accomplished something today, made somebody's life better. Now, I am a registered Democrat in the state of Pennsylvania. We have closed primaries. I'm a registered Democrat. Yes. And I'm a registered Democrat by choice, because right now the Democratic Party is the only hope working people have. As you've heard me say before, Republicans hate working people. Look at the policies that they pursue. And this was an opportunity, in my view, for Democrats to prove my point. Yet they fell down on the job. They could have put one piece of legislation forward that had those sick days in there to say, look, we respect people and their right to have a day off if they get sick and not be disciplined and fired. And we're going to put it in the law. We're going to put it up for a vote. And then let Republicans vote it down. Because they did, didn't they? There were two bills. The one you knew was going to force the contract on all the workers. And the other one that was the performative one that says, yeah, here, Democrats and a couple of Republicans all voted for sick days. And, well, the Republicans shot it down. Didn't need a crystal ball, didn't need one, but knew what was going to, you knew it was going to happen. So when I get all this email saying, oh, you've got to be, don't be so harsh. In fact, one gentleman, D, sent me this email, said, yo, brother R, please stop blaming Mr. Biden. These are tough decisions to make. Not everyone will be pleased. Be grateful what you did receive. Instead of anger and disappointment, maybe learn a new skill in the modern economy will be more uplifting. As you know, the rail industry will be automated in the near future. Also, would you report on the poor worker who fell into a vat of bubbling iron only to be incinerated at Caterpillar Company? Thank you for your time. Bless you and your family. Thank you, Dee. Appreciate it. But here's the thing. I am blaming Biden for this, because this he had complete control over. This the Democrats had. And yes, I know these are tough decisions. I know everyone's not going to be pleased. I know that. But you lost an opportunity here to pull people together. Democrats could have moved forward on that one bill, had Republicans shoot it down, and say what I've been saying all along. Republicans hate working people. See, here it is. And then move on legislation to get everyone, to bring everyone, liberals, conservatives, Democrats, Republicans, independents, agnostics, everybody together to say, yeah, all workers need to have sick time. All workers need to have the ability when they are sick to stay home without fear of reprisal, without fear of discipline, without fear of loss of pay, without fear. I have my union brothers and sisters going, they can't even believe how bad it is for these engineers and conductors that they can't schedule a dentist appointment. They can't schedule a day off if they're sick. So this was a winning message, a winning opportunity, and they let it slip through their hands. Why? Well, the corporate wing won out. And this is why I say I'm a working person. I want things that are going to make working people's lives better. It's that simple for me. Now, Dee points out that there was a gentleman killed at Caterpillar back in June. The second person at the same facility within a year. OSHA fined, I think, the company, the contractors, something like $10,000 for the first guy's death. Now they're talking about something like $145,000. You go, that's it? People fall 20 feet into a bubbling vat of molten steel and are incinerated, and that's it? A little slap on the wrist? Knowing that this was there, knowing that this danger was there? And again, I keep coming back to, I want smart regulations that protect workers on the job. This should have never been allowed to happen the first time, let alone twice. And do you think anyone's going to jail? No, no one's going to jail. And this is why I say we the working people have to come together. We the working people have to be the ones to rise up and say, you know what? We're not taking it. We're going to fight. And this is where, again, the reason I'm a Democrat is that's the best chance we've got in this moment. If the Republican Party proves to me that they're the party of workers and they're going to move forward on legislation that's going to get us a living wage, that's going to get us the dignity of having some sick time when we get sick, that's going to give us the respect of having time off and still be able to have health security and retirement security and all, then I'm going to be a Republican. But I don't know in my lifetime that's ever going to happen. I know they're flirting. You see Marco Rubio trying to flirt with, and look, the Democrats left an opening. They left the window open, and the rats will crawl through when you leave the window open. But ultimately, did Republicans move the legislation? The answer is no. I've been doing this show over 17 years. And I keep asking, what piece of legislation have Republicans proposed, introduced, debated, passed, and gotten signed that sole purpose? The sole purpose was to make working people's lives better. Name one thing, because I haven't found it. So please be my research department. Prove me wrong. Where is this mythical, magical legislation? It doesn't exist. Now, here's the thing, and this is the reason, D, that I'm so hard on Joe Biden. I expect better from Joe Biden. I expect him to do what's in the best interest of working people. This was extremely disappointing, and he needs to know this, and we need to hold them accountable and move the entire party in that direction. And we need to demand from our elected leaders that they do give a tinker's damn about working people, that they do care about our families and our health, because the other side doesn't. And this is where I come back to. Working people Republicans hate working people. It's in the policy. But Democrats, you got to do better. If you're going to be the parting of working people, prove it. If you're going to talk the talk, you better put on those comfortable shoes, borrow them from Obama, and start walking the walk, or I'm going to hold you accountable. It's that simple.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1944. That was the day that seven employees at Detroit's Dodge truck plant stopped working to protest the firing of a union brother. When five of the seven were fired for the stoppage, it sparked a wildcat strike. Another 320 workers downed their tools and left the plant. It was World War II. The Dodge truck plant had been converted into wartime production. Workers there built heavy trucks to ship to allies in China. The unions had signed on to a no-strike pledge after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt demanded labor peace to aid the war effort. Leaders of the AFL and CIO agreed to no strike, no lockout clauses. The CIO went even further and agreed to give up overtime pay. Most union members were not consulted on the pledge and did not vote on it. When they learned about the pledge after the fact, many workers who had just come off victorious organizing drives were in no mood to make concessions. They witnessed surging wartime profits for their employers and no cap on executive salaries, while they had to deal with wage freezes and rising inflation. Many were confronted with increasingly unsafe working conditions, violations of newly won contracts, and arbitrary discipline and firings. Despite the no-strike pledge, wildcat strikes were common. During the war, there were over 14,000 strikes involving more than 6 million workers. In 1944 alone, when the workers walked out at the Detroit Dodge truck plant, there had been more strikes in auto plants than at any other time in the auto industry's history. Workers found that short, spontaneous walkouts quickly resolved their grievances, regardless of the no-strike pledge.
Labor History in Two, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So the days are ticking away as we're looking at the Georgia runoff, December 6th. That is the final day to vote. Early voting is over. Ended Friday at 7 p.m. If you didn't get it in early, you got to stand in line on Tuesday. Make sure you get out to vote. If you know somebody in our Georgia listening area, make sure you're pushing them to the polls. Make sure that they get out to vote. But here to share some thoughts on, well, this runoff and the importance of the runoff, I've asked Linda Harris to come talk with us. Linda is Unite here, Local 23. Shop Stewart, also one of the local canvassers here. Getting out the vote, knocking on doors, kissing babies, pushing people to the polls. Remember December 6th. Linda, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate you taking time with me.
So as you're out talking with people, what are you hearing?
I hear a lot of positive about Warnock, how they can't wait to vote. They're anxious to vote. And they're going to get out there. Even those who voted before, they're like, and if they have to do it again, but they are going to do it again. And then those who didn't vote for whatever reason, one is because it was lax thinking, oh, it's in the bag. They didn't do it. But this time they're voting.
So you're seeing motivation. You're seeing,
yes.
That's what I want to hear. You're seeing motivation and people ready to jump out there and cast their ballots. Because one of the concerns that I have, my friend Greg Palast has done this great movie called Vigilante, Georgia's Vote Suppression Hitman, which is still free to view at vigilantemovie.com. Thanks to Jamie Foxx for funding that. But it's talking about SB 202 and all the roadblocks that have been put in the way of Georgia voters. Do you see any of the fallout from SB 202 and the roadblocks? I mean, this truncated runoff period, a huge part of that.
You know, anytime you tell somebody, no, you cannot, that makes them more angry and more determined to do it. So as people of color, over the years have always rose above of the expectancy. So you tell us no, we push harder. If you say yes, then it's okay. You know, it's just like we believe that there is nothing we cannot do as a people. And that's what we have to realize. It's not just me. It's not just you. It's we as a people. And it doesn't matter what color you are. We as a people got to go forth and do better, get better. Realize things are not going to change unless we change it. And that is doing a minimum, and that's by voting. Yeah. And that's the minimum you have to do is vote.
So, you know, as you're out there, you know, knocking on doors and doing the work that you're doing, making phone calls and all that to get people out to vote, this really isn't about changing hearts and minds. This is just about motivating people, right?
Right. To get out there and actually do the thing.
Because, you know, I would hope, you know, I've yet to run into someone who goes, yeah, I haven't really decided. I think people are in their camps. It's just a matter of now making sure that people get to the polls, right?
Right.
But if there are people out there who are undecided, and I can't imagine that there's anyone left, why Raphael Warnock? I mean, for me as an outsider looking into Georgia, I can't believe that Herschel Walker is anywhere near being competitive just based on the things that I've seen from the outside. But, you know, give me the spiel on Reverend Warnock.
Well, the problem is just that people believe that there was no way he would have had a chance because of Reverend Warnock, what he has done in the past couple of years that he was in the Senate, because what he's done, as he's championed the $35 cost for insulin for people. He's fighting to expand the affordable housing units for housing people who can't afford it. He's taking on greedy oil companies to lower gas prices. I mean, he's been doing this past 2 years. So when you think about what he's been doing, not what he did years and years ago when he was young. I'm talking about the past 2 years or even the past several years. His church, he's always worked for the community. That's what we have to look at, what he's actually done the past few years, working for the community, working for the people to get them what they need as what we need.
Yeah, I look at this, and again, you know, people have asked me, why am I here? And I'm going, this is a national election. Getting another vote into the Senate could help us move positive legislation. And I look, you know, last week, you know, President Biden made what I thought was a horrible decision on the rail strike potential. And it comes down to math. We don't have the votes in the Senate to move forward on any legislation that's going to be helpful for workers. So having Reverend Warnock in the Senate, it gets us one vote closer to getting sick days for every worker, to passing something like the PRO Act, to making it easier for workers to fight and join unions and get better wages. It just seems it's the math, Linda. It just comes down to the math for me.
Well, you're right. It does. We have to get more. We got to unbalance it, because right now the Republicans are holding us hostage, so to speak. So if we don't get stronger, the Democratic Party gets stronger, then we're going to see them take more and more, because no matter what the Democrats put forth, whether it be Biden, what he says, what he wants, the bills he wants to pass, he can't pass them without support. So the Democrats has to get stronger so that he can be stronger and work for the people. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
For the people.
You're listening to the Rick Smith Show here with Linda Harris. She's Unite Here, Local 23, Shop Stewart. Also local canvasser here in Atlanta, knocking on doors, kissing babies. Now, I understand during the midterm election, you were up in my state of Pennsylvania doing this gig as well. It seems like you're almost a professional at this.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but I'm at a time in my life where I want to stop talking about it and I want to be about it, because nothing changes by me talking to my neighbor and complaining. I have to get out there and I have to say, you have to vote. Your vote counts. I have to encourage people to vote. People are so discouraged. Nothing's going to change. Well, no, it's not. If you don't do anything, no, it's not going to change. I keep telling people, you have to do something to make a change. We have to. We do not have a choice. When I look at my granddaughter and my grandson, I look at them and I say, I did the best I could with what I could. And the minimum is voting. And right now, what I can do is get out and knock on people's doors. I don't even know, and ask them to vote.
No, it's that simple. And this is that kind of an important election. But aren't you kind of tired at this point? Every Senate election seems to end in a runoff. And or do you just like campaigning and elections so much here in Georgia that you want to play into overtime?
No, I wouldn't say that. I am tired. But when I go to a door and they tell me thank you for doing what I'm doing, I get an extra energy boost. Now, I'll tell you, I do get some doors I knock on. They're grumpy, because we are tired of you knocking on our doors. We're tired of the commercials. They're tired of the tardy ass. They are. I understand that. But we still have to press on. But like I said, when I get that one person that tells me thank you, it lets me know I'm encouraged and I'm encouraging somebody else.
Gives you a little bit of a boost, and I understand that. I've been doing it myself. So what's the sentiment? I'm kind of curious the sentiment that you're getting from your members since, you know, President Biden and the rail situation. I'm curious, are you hearing anything positive, negative? Where are your members on that, or is this not an issue? Are you solely focused on what's going on here?
Oh, no, we know about it, and we are not very happy about it, you know, because a strike, we are the support. That's how we've been able to get ahead over the years, not just this past few years, but every time the union has come forth together. And it's not just those who are fighting the railroad system, but it's every time we fight as a unit. We're all together. It's not just one union, Unite Here, or the coal mining union. We're all together because we have one purpose: to receive justice and fair treatment and fair wages, so that we all can just work one job and get health care. Our health care is our main concern. It's their main concern too. So we are no different than anybody else. It's just our fight right now, you're right, it's political. Their fight is trying to make a decent living, have decent health care for them. But we're all fighting because we're all one union. Yep. Different names, different locals, but one union.
Yeah, we're all in the same struggle, an injury to one, an injury to all. And this is where these elections matter. Because again, I come back to, as I said last week, the fight is in the numbers. We don't have the numbers yet to push what we need, which is why I'm hoping people on Tuesday will get out, vote for Reverend Warnock, get us that 51st vote in the Senate, and help us build for the future. But Linda, I appreciate you taking time. Get back out there, knocking on those doors and kissing babies and doing the fabulous work you do.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Good stuff. Thank you so much, Linda Harris. Unite here at Local.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Capitol riot. I'm Ben Thomas with an AP News Minute. A former Massachusetts town official seen on surveillance video marching through the U.S. Capitol has been sentenced to 15 years in prison for her role in the riot. Suzanne Ayani also received 30 days of probation. She organized a bus trip for the right-wing group Super Happy Fun America. Jury deliberations have carried into another day in the trial of former President Trump's company. Norman Hall has more.
Prosecutors have asked the New York jury to convict the Trump Organization of criminal tax fraud. The firm is accused of helping executives dodge personal income taxes on perks such as Manhattan apartments and luxury cars. The jury got the case Monday after hearing weeks of testimony from seven witnesses, including the company's longtime finance chief, Alan Weisselberg. The panel deliberated for about 4 hours and returned to the courtroom with a question just once as they sought to clarify one of the charges. I'm Norman Hall.
And I'm Ben Thomas.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life, filled with dance, art, music, and knowledge. They dream of a brighter future with enough nutritious food to eat, a chance to learn and grow, to get an education, escape poverty, and do incredible things. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, such dreams are coming true. Together, we give children a chance to set their sights high and succeed in school and in life by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and so much more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today. Together, we can help end poverty for good.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
4 Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Cases of the flu and RSV are on the rise in Wisconsin. One expert says kids can get over most cases of RSV with rest at home and over-the-counter medicine. Dr. Gregory DeMuri of UW Health says doctors weren't testing kids for RSV before the coronavirus pandemic, which usually peaks after the holidays. Republican Representative Dan Knodel of Germantown is running for the suburban Milwaukee State Senate seat that's open after the retirement of longtime Senator Alberta Darling. The 8th District has been trending more competitively in recent years, but so far no Democrats have announced they're running. Representative Deb Andraca has already said she's not interested. In sports, the Bucks are at Orlando tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Some of the GOP's vigilantes say they'll personally go door to door to get proof of fraudulent voting. What could possibly go wrong with that?
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Well, only a couple hours until the polls open here in Georgia, and well, we're gonna get it done. I gotta tell you, I hope Georgia, please, Georgia. Please, can I say please enough, Georgia? Yeah, I can't even believe we're in the position we're in. But here to talk a little bit about, well, the position that we are in with the potential of a guy who I don't even think should be allowed to walk near the Senate, let alone be seated in it. I've asked our good friend Rich Ojeda to come share some thoughts on the election, also some of the other stuff. Rich is the chief guy over at No Dems Left Behind. Rich, thanks for taking time for us.
Anytime, brother. You know me. Anytime you give me a call, if I can, I'm going to be there.
So, you know, I'm looking at this, and I'm still stunned. I am still stunned we're in this position that it's this close, and that you've got this guy. I mean, is it just me?
You know, let me tell you, there's so many things that really sicken me today. And when you see a person like Herschel Walker, who can't even get two sentences out without messing them up. He lies like him and Donald Trump are literally neck and neck for who lies the most. And it's an issue. It's a race. It's a close race. You know, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, if anything, vote for Reverend Warnock so that we can basically keep Joe Manchin in check. You know, because if Warnock wins this, you know, we no matter what happens, the Democrats keep the Senate. But if Warnock is able to win, then it's 51-49. And what that does is next time Joe Manchin wants to try to exercise his muscle like he always tries to do and hold legislation hostage, it ain't going to work.
Right.
So, I mean, vote for Reverend Warnock because of that. But, you know, the mere fact that, you know, it's a close race really sickens my heart because it shouldn't be. You know, anybody who's got any decency in them whatsoever would honestly never cast a vote for somebody like Herschel Walker. And yeah, it's just sad.
It just shows how bankrupt the Republican Party is and void of ideas and void of vision for the future. I mean, look, if there were a candidate who at least had a platform, at least had an idea of where they want to take the country and really could articulate their ideas. Okay, I get that it should be close because we want to fight over ideas. But this guy's talking about vampires and werewolves.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the thing is that, you know, this should not even be an issue. If I mean, this right here shows the people in Georgia that think they're Republicans. And remember, let's be honest, Republicans are old, rich, white guys. You know, they're not the average, we're hardworking people. They're not the poor. But the Republicans have convinced the poor that they're Republicans. And it's really sickening. But this shows you how little respect the Republicans actually have of the people in Georgia, that they believe they could just grab somebody that played football back in the day and throw them in the mix, and the people are automatically going to vote for that guy because of football. And sadly, they're right, and it's such a sad place to be in this country. You know, I mean, they have no respect for the voter in Georgia if they think that all they have to do is throw something in the middle there and these people are going to jump all over. And sadly, a lot of them did. And wow.
But I think he beat Alabama. So that, as one guy explained it to me, he goes, you know, there's guns, there's the Bible, and then there's SEC football. And the Bible and SEC football are kind of neck and neck in a lot of people's minds, which you go, yeah, wow.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, when we're talking religion, hold on for a second. Hey, baby, what was that? What type of religion? Methodist. Yeah. And we're finding out, my wife was talking to me earlier today, that a lot of Methodist churches in these parts of the country are now starting to split, and they're becoming, you know, they're splitting with you have the Methodist church, and now you have the conservative churches. So now the churches are calling themselves, we are the conservative church, because they want to completely separate with, you know, I guess churches that believe in helping the poor,
yeah,
that believe in not judging, you know, believe in things like that. But wow, that's where we're going in this country.
No, I've always said, Rich, and I think we've had this conversation in the past, you know, when we finally decide that we are a good, God-fearing Christian nation and we stake that flag and the, you know, that's it, that we are that, then watching the different sects eat each other, that's where the entertainment will be.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, absolutely. You know, and it just amazes me that that, you know, it's 2022. You know, I mean, if this was 1940, you know, but today with access to so much, you know, so much education, you know, everybody has at their phone the ability to pretty much know what's going on in any place in this country.
Yeah.
And the mere fact that we have so many people, huge swaths of land that can be so easily duped is saddening.
Yeah, I say we're over misinformed because we keep all looking at the, I think we need to learn to filter information a little bit better. For instance, everybody I talk to on the right, in fact, I still remember, I'm old enough to remember 2010, when all of my Tea Party people were walking around with their pocket constitutions, telling me how much they love the Constitution, they love carrying around their pocket. I doubt they ever read it, but now they've got their MAGA hat leader basically wanting to, it doesn't work anymore for them. The Constitution needs to be set aside because, well, he lost.
But this, see, that's the thing. For the people who have been running around saying Constitution, 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 and now those same exact people, because their orange Lord and Savior decided that we need to do away with it so that they can go ahead and let him come back into power because he wants to be the dictator that he wants to be, they're okay with it now. And once again, it's all garbage. You know, these people just spew so much just lack of information that we have. And you know, here's the thing. This right here should be a perfect reason why we bring back the fairness doctrine. And we stop these organizations like Fox News and OE and CNN too, you know, stop these news agencies that are more willing to literally lie to their people because it's basically making them money.
Yeah, but here's my question then, because I've had this debate with people before, and the fairness doctrine is one of those things that people throw out. This isn't the 1950s anymore. Lots of most information comes on Facebook. Most information comes through social media, through the internet. How do you balance that in a fairness doctrine world then?
When you are a reputable news source, if you are considering yourself to be a news source, then you should be held accountable. Now, if you don't want to be a news source and you just want to be something that just spews garbage, it needs to be stated that, you know, even if it's like when advertisers have to list, you know, certain things that says,
sponsor.
You know, yeah, we are not exactly a reputable news source, but here we are.
Here's our BS anyway.
Yeah, at least make them have to say that so that when they are, you know, they're going to always, and it's no different than when Fox News goes to the courts. I mean, they're even saying things like nobody really listens to Tucker Carlson. I mean, but at the end of the day, it should say something like that. So because there are a lot of people that aren't smart enough to realize that really Tucker Carlson isn't a reputable news source, but they believe everything that he says as if it's coming from Christ himself.
Yeah, but it's still not going to matter. They're still going to follow these talking heads, you know. And I don't know how you do that in a way that is going to balance things.
But at the end of the day, CNN, Fox News, OAN, MSNBC, every single news source, every news source out there that considers himself a news source should be held to a standard that says that before you run a story, you have to have so many different, whether it be, things to show that it's true.
You need some sources.
So many witnesses, so many sources that show that this is a true story before you just blab it out everywhere. Because people are falling for this stuff. And just like you said, you know, you've got people right now that are voting for Herschel Walker because they think that, you know, there's a lot of horrible things that have been said about Reverend Warnock, you know, and just because he is a person that is an elected official, which basically says you can basically do anything you want as long as it's not libel that hurts their families or something like that. But I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, that's what's going on. A lot of people are falling for horrific things. And, you know, Reverend Warnock has done great things as a senator.
Yeah.
You know, he is a person that you can count on to support the good bills that help the people. Herschel Walker's not going to. Herschel Walker, and they don't want Herschel Walker to go to Washington, D.C. and fight for anything for the people of Georgia. They want Herschel Walker to go there and sit in a chair and vote exactly the way they tell him to vote, because they know that's the only thing they're going to get out of Herschel Walker. And if Herschel Walker so much as one day steps up and takes the microphone because he thinks he wants to leave his mark as a senator, he will. And it's going to be as the dumbest senator to ever occupy the chair.
And I got to tell you, there's a sadistic part of me. And I know there's a sadistic part in all of us that you know, on a certain level, on that level we never talk about, that want to see that train wreck.
Yeah, but I mean, how many people do we have to put on the train? Because we got Louie Gohmert, we got Paul Gosar, we got Marge the Trainwreck Green, we got Lauren Boebert, we got, I mean, literally
Tommy Tuberville,
on and on. I mean, there's so many of these people that are already there that are literally spewing garbage and are embarrassing. And you know, the only people that aren't embarrassed by these people are the duped. You know, if you look at Marjorie Trainwreck Green and you think she's a patriot, you can't spell the word. That's how it is.
Wow. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're here with Rich Ojeda, head chief cook and bottle washer over at No Dems Left Behind. Also does incredible work over on the, you're still on the Young Turks, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And doing some stuff at Courier, I believe, right?
You're doing Young Turks, doing stuff at the Rebel HQ, just doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, you're like everywhere. I'm down here in Georgia, and I'm talking with people, and they go, "You know Rich?" And I go, "Yeah, I know Rich. We love Rich." So, you know, you've got a huge following here.
Well, and we're trying to pick up our game. You know, we're hoping that when we get into the new house, we're going to start and do an actual show.
Yeah, now you're in the new place. You know, you've got the confines there. Electric problems, though, as I understand.
Unfortunately, I'm in the area that apparently has a lot of people that absolutely refuse to allow people in the LGBTQ community to raise money for good causes. So then all of a sudden, I guess those toothless inbred folks decide, let's go ahead and attack the substations. And now we're out of power. And it looks like we're going to be out of power probably until Thursday. But the FBI are involved. And the only good thing about this is that those people that attack those substations, I hope they're sitting in the dark, and I hope they're cold.
No, I mean, that's the part that got me. I saw the story and I'm going, why would you blow up your own power station? Why? On what level does that make sense?
Yeah, well, you know, I moved here and I thought to myself, this is great. We love it here, and we do love it here. But apparently there's also, and no matter where you go, you're always going to find that group of people that literally, you know, I mean, it's literally they'd have to pick up the dog excrement and taste test it before they told you, don't step there.
So now we're kind of looking toward the new year and a Republican-led Congress. What are you paying attention to? I know Kevin McCarthy has said that, you know, we're going to hear Hunter Biden's name a lot. I guess that's coming.
You know, if the Republicans want to shoot themselves in the foot, if they want to go after a private citizen like that, that's fine. If you're going to go after Hunter Biden, go after Jared Kushner. Go after Ivanka, Eric, and Don Jr. too. But it's okay. Take these next 2 years and you occupy our airtime with that garbage, because all you're doing is guaranteeing the fact that in 2024 we'll keep the Senate, we'll keep the presidency, and we're going to take back the House too. So you continue down that path and you make it to where Hunter Biden is the absolute biggest enemy in this country, because you're going to waste your time and you're not going to do anything for the people, and eventually they're going to wake up.
You know, that's one of the things that I've been hearing, you know, as I'm talking to people here in Georgia. It's, you know, I keep asking, you know, what is it that the Republicans have done to help make your lives better? You know, are there things that you can point to? And, you know, people want to throw out the tax, you know, bill, that the only bill that Trump got signed, the tax bill that really didn't help them. But the thought process is that, hey, there were tax cuts, so I must have gotten them, which is really kind of a weird dynamic.
Yeah, they didn't. And now their taxes are going to go up, because that's one of the things that Donald Trump did. You know, I will tell you that I think that President Biden is hitting home runs. I'm not happy. I am not happy about the railroad thing, because at the end of the day, those guys only get 2 days off a year. And I got a lot of friends that work in the railroad industry. And I understand if they are that important that we cannot allow it to fail, then the least we should do is take care of those people and give them time with their families. And I'm going to tell you, you know, Joe Biden can say he signed a bill and we averted a strike, but those railroad workers are not happy. And make no mistake about it, they're not going to be supporting the Democrat Party in 2 years when Joe Biden runs again. He needs to do what's right. There's never a time when you can't go back and right a wrong.
Right.
And he needs to right this wrong.
Now, this for me, and I've been talking about this the last couple of days. This was a moment where, and they still can, I think, to use this as an opportunity to say, you know, everybody needs sick days. And to move legislation to try and get everybody who works, the security and the dignity of having the ability, if you're sick, to stay home and not worry about being disciplined or loss of pay or being fired. But the bigger conversation, and you hit something there a minute ago. You said, you know, they're too big to fail. If they're too big to fail, Rich, aren't they too big to exist?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I think that, you know, we desperately need the rail industry right now.
Yeah, no, aren't they too big to be monopolized when we have seven carriers that control?
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's a shame where there was a time when we had so many different, you know, businesses that have been reduced down to just a few. You know, there used to be like eight or nine gas companies, and now there's three. You know, it's things like that. But I'm telling you, this is a thing that, you know, everybody deserves to be respected. And when you've got people that have to work 363 days a year, I mean, that's literally they get 2 days off a year. I think they could probably get weekend or weekday or something like that, one day off a week. But they only get 2 days off a year, like Christmas and Thanksgiving. They deserve more than that.
Yeah, the rest of the time they're on call.
They're on call. These people work long hours. I got buddies of mine that work where they will literally go to work and they'll get on a train and they'll ride that train for the next 2 weeks where they're on it pretty much nonstop. You know, they don't get no family time.
Yep.
And there's no reason why, you know, we can't try to do something to take care of these people.
This is why Democrats are terrible at messaging. And this is where my anger was. This is where my frustration was, because this was an opportunity. And what they did is they left the window open for rats like Marco Rubio and John Kennedy and Mike Braun and Ted Cruz and Lindsey freaking Graham.
To come on and roast. You know, there's only one Democrat that voted no. And who that is.
That was your guy.
Good old Joe Manchin. I'm going to tell you right now. Joe Manchin makes his money from coal. Joe Manchin don't make a lot of his money as a senator. Now, he does some underhanded deals, make no mistake about it, that put money in his pocket. But I can tell you right now, every single daggone train operator that drives coal that benefits that guy, they should daggone strike.
I'm right there with you. So last question I've got for you, and bringing it back here to Georgia. You know, the polling seems to be in a whole bunch of different places. I've got people here telling me it's going to be a fraction of a percent that Warnock's going to win. All of the polls have Warnock 90% chance of winning, 86% chance of winning. Any predictions for Tuesday night?
I believe that Reverend Warnock is going to pull it off. I think that, like, you know, I think that there's plenty of Democrats out there that are looking at this and they're saying, I can't vote for a person like this. I can't vote for a guy who is an absolute liar. I can't vote for a guy who says he's against abortion and yet he's paid for countless abortions with women. You know, he has a violent streak with him. You know, that's not who anybody wants representing them in Washington, D.C. What's sad is how the Republicans have come out and said, we don't care. We don't care what he's done. We want control is what they want. They're not going to get control. They've already lost that. They lost that because, number one, they continued to keep their head up Donald Trump's fourth point of contact. And if you've ever jumped out of an airplane, that's your butt. You know, they've had their head up there forever. And that seems like that's all they really care about. And they continue pushing garbage. We now know that the American people are sick and tired of hearing about elections being stolen, because Americans are sick and tired of watching sore losers cry when they get beat because they don't have any messaging when they run that makes anybody want to vote for them. All, you know, Carrie Lake did nothing but talk about daggone Donald Trump getting his election stolen. Yeah, guess what? That's why she's kicking rocks right now.
Yeah, well, and she lost again today. They certified the election.
Yeah, And she's going to still continue crying. Let them keep crying. At the end of the day, they can keep crying at home.
Going to be interesting to see how the results turn out tomorrow. But, Rich, I appreciate the time. As always, great stuff. Can't wait for you to get electric back in your neighborhood.
Me too, brother. Hey, you have a good one.
Thanks so much, our good friend Rich Ojeda. Again, make sure you check out the work he does over at No Dems Left Behind. We'll get links out on social media. You can take a look at that. Going to take a quick break. Right back here from Atlanta, Georgia. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1955. That was the day the American Federation of Labor and the Congress of Industrial Organizations merged to become the AFL-CIO. The American Federation of Labor was a confederation of unions that can trace its roots all the way back to just after the Civil War in 1866. Samuel Gompers initially established the Federation of Organized Trades and Labor Unions, which reorganized as the American Federation of Labor. This group was comprised of craft unions and represented primarily skilled laborers. However, as industrialization grew, many union organizers believed in the idea of industrial unions. They wanted to expand to organize more unskilled workers by industry. John L. Lewis, head of the United Mine Workers Union, was one union leader who wanted this change. Out of this idea, the Committee of Industrial Unions was formed as part of the American Federation of Labor. This group felt its issues were being ignored by the AFL. As a result, in 1938, it split from the AFL and became the Congress of Industrial Organizations. Members of the CIO included the United Mine Workers, the United Auto Workers, and the United Steel Workers. The 1950s were a high point for labor unions in the United States. One-third of all workers in the nation were members of unions. However, both the AFL and the CIO were concerned about the future of organized labor. The Taft-Hartley Act, passed in 1947 over the veto of President Harry S. Truman, made organizing more difficult. The two groups realized they would be more effective if they banded together under one roof. The American Federation of Labor and the Congress of Industrial Organizations merged to become today's AFL-CIO. Labor History in Two, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
I tell you, I love all of the football analogy emails I've been getting. You know, we've got one last Hail Mary attempt to get Herschel Walker elected. You know, the Democrats are about to spike the ball. It's time for us to rally the troops. I mean, the level of keep us stupid is at an all-time high. Yes, he was a great football player. He was. I mean, he was amazing. That doesn't mean that it doesn't mean he can do that in the Senate. It's not like he's going to go running over the old guys in the Senate to pass something that's going to help someone. Because, again, I look at this campaign, one of the worst campaigns I've ever seen, because there's no substance. There's nothing there. This is the weird part. What does he stand for? And as I've been talking to people, it's apparent that no one is voting for Herschel Walker. There's nobody going, I can't wait for me to go vote for Herschel Walker. I've yet to have that happen. I've had a couple of, well, he's a good one. He's the only good one. I've had that, which is a weird statement. And there's something to be unpacked there. But mostly it's about their fear of what Senator Warnock, because it was what they've been told. He's a socialist. He's a Marxist. I've been hearing this frame a lot. You know, as a pastor, would want to feed the hungry, give shelter to the homeless, heal the sick, visit the imprisoned, help the elderly, you know, that religion type stuff that we're told, we're that Christian nation-y thing. You may remember, you may have heard of it. But yet the same religious people who are supposed to believe what the book says, and the book says all that stuff, they look at Walker as the imperfect vessel. You know, he's going to do God's work of, but not that hippy-dippy socialist stuff like feeding people. Can't have that. Really just kind of a weird, just a weird thing if you stop and you think about it. But in this day and age, I guess nothing surprises me anymore. There's nothing that I go, oh my gosh, I'm shocked by the level of nothing. This campaign, his campaign has nothing. There's nothing there. Nothing. And yet there are people who are going to vote. They're going to cast their ballot for the guy in the red hat, even though there's nothing under it.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.